Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
How many want to see greater glory? Glory of God is the awesomeness of the Almighty. It's all that He is, all that He has in manifestation. And we want to see more of Him, His goodness, His power, His majesty in manifestation in our life, in our church, and in all the earth, right? Everybody say, greater glory. Greater glory. So, you know, it's no wonder the Lord's got me teaching on the subject of worship, because where there's glory, there needs to be worship, because the glory is to be valued. Because the glory is valuable. The glory is valuable. It's precious. And we need to esteem it as precious. We need to esteem God as precious, as valuable to us. And that's what worship does. Worship treats God, what He does, who He is, as valuable, as precious, as expensive. Worship is to cost us something. Even though it's to be freely offered, it's not to be cheap. There is cheap worship, which really isn't worship at all. Worship is to cost us something. It's to cost us our lives. And that shows the value that we place on the one that we worship, because we worship Him with our life. We give Him all that we are and all that we have. Worship that costs nothing is worth nothing. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 24. In its context, it's talking about us how David, who we just called spiritual, committed a great sin. He numbered the children of Israel. He shouldn't have done that. The prophet came to him and told him by the word of the Lord that there was going to be a plague that was going to break out in the land. And so that he was to go and present an offering to God at a certain location. And so David goes to this particular location and he meets the man who owns the land. And he has a farm out there. And David tells the man that he needs to build an altar here and worship the Lord. And so we pick it up here in verse 23. It says, "All these, O king, Araunah has given to the king." In other words, I've given you the land. I've given you all the utensils, everything you need to worship. I even give you the sacrifices. Araunah is the man that owns the property. He said, "I'm going to give you everything, even the sacrifices, to be able to worship God." So he's a very generous man. He wants to bless the king. And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you when you present these offerings to him." Verse 24. Then the king said to Araunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers of the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Notice David, you know, he was getting a handout here. This very generous man was saying, "I'll give you everything you need to be able to worship God." Because that's what this is. He's going to build him an altar. He's going to bring these sacrifices. He's going to worship God. And David says, "I can't worship God with something that costs me nothing. That would not be worship. That would not be worship. Worship that costs nothing is worth nothing." Let me read from another translation, the MSG translation. "I'm not going to offer God, my God, sacrifices that are no sacrifice." He's saying it's not a sacrifice if it doesn't cost me anything. I need to invest in this. When I give worship to God, there needs to be an investment of my life. It needs to cost me something. He says, I'm not going to offer God, my God, sacrifices that are no sacrifices. There's a lot of people running around today thinking that they're sacrificing to God, that they're worshiping him. And in fact, they're really not, because it doesn't cost them anything. When we look up the word sacrifice, it means something to give up, to surrender. An act of slaughtering an animal or person, or surrendering a possession as an offering to God. So, of course, you know, God has put away blood sacrifices with animals. We don't bring animal sacrifices. But we are to present a human sacrifice before God. And that's our lives. No, we don't cut ourselves and spill our blood out. Jesus did that for us. But we are to give our lives consecrated unto God, surrendered to him as an offering, as an act of worship to him. So we don't slaughter or slay animals anymore, but we do lay our lives down. And that laying of our lives down, and as we've looked at in the series already, people falling down, laying their bodies out before the Lord. It's symbolic of their life being slain. You know, we even call people falling out in the spirit when they receive that touch from God and the weightiness of his glory comes on them and they fall out. We actually refer to that as being slain in the spirit. Slain. They've surrendered themselves to God. That's how people do get slain in the spirit. There's a surrender to him. There's a letting go of themselves. There's a reckless abandonment. There's a complete submission to God, to his presence, to the Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 13, a familiar scripture in verse 15, says, therefore, by him, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now notice this, the sacrifice of praise to God. The sacrifice of praise to God. Now a lot of people think, you know, yeah, you know, praising him is a sacrifice. Just lifting our voice, you know, it's so much work. Yeah, it's so much work to praise God, you know. I mean, I've had a long day. And so, yes, for me to have to lift my voice to God and to have to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, man, it's just work. And therefore, it's a sacrifice. That's how a lot of people have interpreted the sacrifice of praise. But actually, the sacrifice of praise isn't new to the New Testament. We see it back here under the Old Covenant, in the book of Leviticus. Why don't you turn there with me? Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12, talking about the different offerings people are to bring as their worship to God. That's what this is all about. It's all about worship. He says, if he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of finely blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. Notice that, sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sounds like the sacrifice of praise. Because when we're praising him, what are we doing? We're thanking him. We're exalting him. We're magnifying him. And we're just thanking God. Thanking God is called praise. So here he's talking about a sacrifice of thanksgiving. New Testament's referred to as the sacrifice of praise. It's really the same thing. But I want you to notice it wasn't just the fruit of their lips. They were bringing things to the Lord. And one of the things they were bringing was an animal sacrifice. In addition to the animal sacrifice, there were these cakes and so forth that they brought. But there was an animal sacrifice that they brought. And usually it was a ram. A ram is what they would sacrifice as a thanksgiving offering or a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Verse 15, the flesh of the sacrifice, the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving or praise shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. So notice that the flesh being sacrificed of this animal is a part of worshiping God. Now, of course, these animals cost these people something. They had to purchase these animals, and a lot of them, that was their livelihood. Their livelihood was in livestock. And so, you know, or they had to go out and purchase these animals and then bring them and sacrifice. So their worship cost them something. And notice, it was the flesh of these animals. We know we don't bring fleshly animals anymore before the Lord as worship. But yet, those fleshly animals are a type of our bringing our lives to God as a sacrifice to him. We don't just bring animals. We bring our life. We bring our life to God. And in fact, if people brought these animals, but their hearts weren't connected to it, they were just doing it out of religious obligation, it meant nothing to God. It was worthless worship. We don't want our worship to be worthless. So our praise, the fruit of our lips, isn't just us singing songs and saying words. The sacrifice that's a part of the fruit of our lips is the consecration of our life, the surrender of our life to God. We don't just come and thank him and praise him with our lips. We bring the sacrifice of praise, which means we bring something that costs us something as we lift our voice to him and give him the fruit of our lips. So we're giving him the fruit of our lips and our life at the same time. Because if we're not giving our life as we give him the fruit of our lips, it's not costing us anything. It's just lip service. And we're not just to be giving lip service to God. You remember over in Romans chapter 12, Romans 12 verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that's not lip service. That's not just lip service. When you look up the word reasonable, it means spiritual. And when you look up the word service, it means worship, which is your spiritual worship, or like one translation says, your spiritual act of worship. And what is your spiritual act of worship? Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, it's again, you're giving something that costs you something. It's your life. You're presenting your body wholly to God. You're preserving, you're keeping yourself from the indulgences of the flesh. You're not allowing yourself to be a fleshly, carnal person. You're controlling your body. You're controlling your life. If we just come before God and go, oh, praise God, thank you, Lord Jesus, and we say all these nice things, but yet our mouth is out of control, the moment we stop praising him, our mouths are out of control, then that means our life is out of control, our body's out of control, and thus it is not under the control of God. It is not surrendered to him. It's not fully submitted to him. It has not been presented a sacrifice to him. So we need to present our bodies, which includes our mouths, as a sacrifice to him. We control it. We control our mouth. We control our bodies. We control our thoughts. We control our life. We control our actions. As we thank him, as we exalt him, as we sing to him, as we praise him, that's the sacrifice of praise. It's the sacrifice of praise. It's not just praise. It's a sacrifice of praise. There's sacrifice in the praise. And it's the sacrifice of your life, your body, your thoughts, your mouth, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you live your life. So we're exalting him with our words, but with our whole life. We're surrendering ourselves to him. We lift our hands to him. What happens when a police officer comes and says, freeze? What's the next thing they tell you to do? Put your hands up. Surrender. Come out with your hands up. Hopefully none of you hear those words. I hope that never, that should not be, any of you should ever, never hear that. But what is it? Put your hands up. Surrender. That's what that's a sign of. That's why we lift our hands up to God. I don't lift my hands up to you. I don't walk with you. Hey, Joshua, how you doing? I don't do that. Joshua doesn't get that. I like Joshua. He's a nice guy, but he don't get that. And hear what I'm saying? Right? Whatever kind of musician. Musicians are not worthy of that. Now, people do it. They don't know what in the world they're doing. That's why they have no idea what they're doing. They're blinded by the god of this world. And they'll lift their light their things. And they well, now today they don't light anything. They wave their phones. But they lift their hands in the air. See? So what are they saying? They don't even know what they're doing. Do you know what you're doing? You're surrendering your life to this person. You're surrendering your soul to this human that's up here rocking out. Do you want to do that? And people just stop and thought about it. That's what you're doing. No, the only God gets my hands up in the air. Everybody say, worship that costs nothing is worth nothing. Malachi chapter 1. And notice how God talks to the children of Israel here. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, he's talking about the animal sacrifices. God looks and God sees, he says, yeah, you're bringing your sacrifice, but it's not costing you anything. You're taking lame animals. You're taking blind animals. You're taking animals that are basically worthless to you. And so you're coming and you're fulfilling your religious obligation, but you're not bringing something that actually really means something to you. This is not costing you anything. People will look and say, oh, look. How respect, look how they worship God, and look how they bring their offering. But God looks and says, I know what that's worth to you. Next to nothing. And that's what you're bringing to me. Is that not evil? Is that not evil? Bringing worthless worship to God is evil. Is an evil thing in the eyes of God. And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? He's saying if your governor won't accept you, what do you think? You think I'm going to accept that? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people, they're going through the motions of what looks like what appears to be worship, but it's unacceptable to God. It's unacceptable to God because it's not costing them anything. Let's jump down to verse 13. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? And the answer, of course, is no. He should not accept that. He should not accept that. It should be, when we're coming to worship God, it should be from our heart. And it should mean something to us. It should be something that's valuable to us. something that's precious to us because he's valuable, he's precious, and he's worthy of what is valuable and precious. And so going back to the beginning, if we want to see that glory of greater glory of God, then there needs to be greater worship. There needs to be greater worship. There needs to be true worship that is from our spirit, that is from our heart, that we're really giving a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship to God. And we're not just singing songs. We're not just singing songs and going through religious motions, not touching the heart of God. So we got to prepare our heart. And we got to train ourselves to not just worship, but to be worshipers. Make it a lifestyle of giving ourselves to him, of consecrating ourselves to him, of surrendering ourselves to the Lord. That should be a daily occurrence where we're continuously surrendering ourselves to the Lord. I mean, Jesus himself gives us this example in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible says he goes before the Father, and three times he says, "Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will. I'm here. Listen, Lord, if there's any way this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He goes away, talks to his disciples a little bit. He comes back. "Father, if there's, you know, all things are possible with you. If there's any possible way this cup, nevertheless, not my will. If I got to drink this cup, I'm going to drink it. Not my will, but your will be done." He prayed it three times. In one prayer session, he prayed the prayer of consecration, because that's what that was. "Not my will, your will be done." He was surrendering his will to the will of the Father. That's worship. That's worship. When we go and we pray and we worship God, we should be surrendering our will to him. We should be telling him how our lives belong to him and we're not our own. That whatever you want, Lord, use me, flow through me. Have your way in my life. Help me to cooperate with you. Help me to fully surrender to you. Help me to be fully consecrated to you. I want to be completely surrendered to you. That's what God's looking for from us. That's what he's really looking for from us. We see that in Psalm 51 in verse 16. Again, King David with this revelation from God. He learned this one the hard way, but nevertheless, he learned. And he said in verse 16, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it." Now, what he's talking about there when he says you do not desire sacrifice, he's talking about of animals. It's not the flesh of animals that you want. It's not the flesh of animals that you want. He says, "Otherwise, I would give that to you. You do not delight in burnt offerings." The sacrifices of God, now there are sacrifices. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. That's the sacrifice. That's what costs you something. It's you giving your life in complete surrender to him. Contrite. Broken. Now, when I think of something broken, I think of like a broken arm or a broken leg. And when something gets broken like that, what, when you go to a doctor, what do they do? If you come to church, I understand it gets healed immediately. But if you go to the doctor, what happens? He puts it in a cast. Isn't that right? Right. So you put it in a cast because it can't work on its own. It needs extra protection. When you have a broken spirit, it needs to be put in a cast. And the cast is Christ. We need to be in him. And when we're in him like that broken leg, we can't do anything independently. It's complete dependency on him. He's our protection. I can't protect myself. He's my defense. He guards me. I'm able to get around because I'm in him. I'm in him. I'm able to move around because I'm in him. In Christ. Broken. Surrendered. In him. That's where you and I need to be. That is our worship to him. So it's just, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. And then we're out doing our own thing. Speaking our own words, thinking our own thoughts, living our own life, going where we want to go, doing what we want to do, full of opinions, full of ideas. No surrender. No worship. Just lip service. We're not just to give him the fruit of our lips, we're to give him the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips accompanied by a life of surrender and brokenness to God, being contrite, humble, not trusting in ourselves, but trusting in him. When we're worshiping God, we're not just going through these motions. We're trusting in him, and we're not trusting in ourselves anymore. I don't trust me. I trust you in me. I trust you through me. But I don't just trust me. I trust you in me and through me. Isaiah chapter 66. And in verse 1. Thus says the Lord. This is God talking. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord. Now, again, this was something he said also through the prophet Nathan to David. When David had it in his heart to build a place of worship for the Lord. He wanted to build the temple. He wanted to create this place where people could come and worship God. He wanted to build a house of worship. And God says, what is the house that you're going to build me? I'm not looking for a house of worship. I'm looking for hearts of worship. And that's what he goes on to say. He says, my hands have made all these things, says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. How many people tremble at the word of God? We fear disobeying God's word. We fear getting out beyond God's word. We fear saying and doing things that don't line up with the word. That would scare me. I want to make sure that everything I'm doing lines up with the word. Because I want everything that I'm doing to be for his glory, not for my own. I want him exalted. I want him to be worshiped. I want him to be honored. And then he says this. After saying, listen, I'm not looking for a house of worship. I'm looking for hearts of worship. That's what I'm looking for. Then he says this in verse 3. He who kills a bull as if he slays a man. That'd be murder, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, killing a bull can be a violent thing. And, you know, there's just, he starts describing these people that they're bringing their sacrifices, but they're so callous. Their hearts are so callous towards God. So callous towards other people. They're so insensitive. They're anything but broken. They are whole to themselves. They're strong in themselves. Insensitive to people. They're not tender-hearted people. They're not tender to God or to other people. And they're out here killing these bulls. It'd be just like murdering a human being. Because they got murder in their heart. They got all this hatred in their heart. They got all this selfishness in their heart. He sees their heart. Their heart is full of murder and hatred and all this bitterness and all this ugliness. And they're over here killing a bull as an offering to God. He said to God, it's like murdering somebody. It's like slaying a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood. You know, these people in the occult that do that kind of thing, right? He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations. God looks at this is an abomination. You know, these people, they're bringing all these offerings and they get the grain offering and it's like swine's blood. You might as well go out there and you might as well cut yourself and put markings all over yourself and go out there and worship the devil. Because what you're doing is not worship to me. Your hearts are not pure in any of this. Do we need to know this today? What people call worship, what people call honoring God, praising God. You know, what's going on in their hearts? What are they doing with their lives? They live almost like independent of God. But then they go, praise you, thank you, Jesus. My mouth is running and I'm saying whatever I want. I'm very opinionated. Oh, thank you, praise you, Jesus. Thank you for the parking spot. Praise you, thank you, Jesus, for taking care of me. Thank you, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed. And then the mouth is running and we're cutting down other people, judging and criticizing. Things aren't right. There's no real surrender here. It's not costing you anything. It's just a bunch of lip service, which is not spiritual worship. It's not the reasonable service that he's talking about. Let's go on to Isaiah chapter 1. Come back to chapter 1 of Isaiah. God's looking for worshipers. And we're looking for the greater glory. Hallelujah. The two go together. Greater, deeper worship. Greater glory. In this wonderful new year. Isaiah chapter 1. In verse 13, look what God says to Israel. He says, bring no more futile sacrifices, or we could say worthless worship. Because the sacrifices are worship, and it's futile, which means basically worthless. Bring me no more worthless worship. Incense is an abomination to me. Not incense of itself, but the way it's being offered. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, church services. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. How do you like that? God, he's like, I can't handle church anymore. God's like, I don't want to come to your church services. I can't stand it. When you guys come together to supposedly meet with me and worship me, he said it's futile. It's absolute worthless. It's totally worthless. Let me read it from the Amplified Bible. He says, do not bring worthless offerings again. Your incense is repulsive to me. Your worship, your praise and worship is repulsive to me. The CSB translation, stop bringing useless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. The CEV translation. Your sacrifices are worthless and incense is disgusting. Your incense, it's disgusting. Think about that. Incense is a symbol of worship. You know, worship is to be like a fragrance that goes up to God. Back then, they would actually burn incense and things to symbolize that. But we see it even in the book of Revelation. The people would pray and worship. And incense would come up before the Lord. And the Lord would smell the incense. You know, he'd smell the sacrifice. He'd smell the worship. It was something that the Lord could smell. It was tangible to him. He's looking at this odor. There's this disgusting odor coming up. And they're calling it the sacrifice of praise. They're calling it praise and worship, and it's disgusting. There's no anointing on it. There's no anointing fragrance. There's no anointing fragrance oil on it at all.
But it has Christian lyrics.
That's nice. Go get some swine blood. Why don't you go run around the graveyard for a little while? Sacrifice some bats to the Lord. You might as well. We've Christianized devil worship in America. We've Christianized devil worship in a lot of churches because the hearts aren't there. There's no real surrender or sacrifice. In fact, when you start talking about surrender, sacrifice, people get offended. Well, that's just so offensive. They get so offended at the truth because their hearts aren't right with God. So God says, do not bring your worthless offerings again. They're worthless to me. They're not costing you anything. Ezekiel chapter 33, along the same lines here. In verse 30, he says, as for you, son of man, talking to Ezekiel the prophet, As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. They want to hear the word that comes from the Lord. They want to hear the preacher. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. They act like my people. They love hearing the word of the Lord. They love the preaching, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. What's he saying here? He's saying these people are in entertainment mode. They think this is entertainment. They are coming to hear the man of God. He preaches with such enthusiasm, and it's so exciting, and it's so motivating, and it's just thrilling, and it's just exciting to be around. And oh, the atmosphere at that church, and the people, and the praise, and it's just one, and the praise and worship. Oh, the praise and worship. You got to hear the praise and worship. It's not for you. Praise and worship is for him. It's not to be just a pleasant sound in your ears. It's supposed to be something that's flowing out of your heart unto God. But we see what worship has become and church services have become in our society today. It's become a concert. It's become a movie theater. It's become entertainment. It's about coming and getting cozy in the pew, getting cozy in your chair, and being entertained. It's fun. It's exciting. And we have our favorite preachers. I like that preacher better than that preacher. I love the way he teaches better than the way he teaches. And I like that. And I like this. And I like that. Do you do any of it? Are you actually living this thing? Are you actually sitting here taking hold of this word so that you can be an actual doer of it? Are you letting it transform? Are you expecting it to transform your life? Are you going to work it when you walk out of here? Are you actually going to hit your face, fall down, and honor and worship God and surrender yourself to him outside the doors of the church? Or is this just fun? It's exciting. It's something to do. It's a good time. Church should be a good time. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. It should be a very good time. It should be a very exciting time. People should be enthused. It should feel good. The atmosphere should feel good. It should be comfortable. We make it as comfortable as possible. It should be just a nice, good time. But that's not what it's about. I said it's not what it's about. If all the good times and all the sound effects and all the beauty of it was taken away, what would you do? I know what a lot of people would do because they've done it. They leave. For years, we didn't have musicians. For years. And I went to the Lord about it. And one day, I said to him, it was on a Thursday, it was right after a Wednesday night service, and the people just looked at me like they were just like not getting it. And I went to the Lord, I don't know what I was teaching on, but it was the service just felt so dry. And so I went to the Lord the next day, I said, God, I said, we need a praise and worship team to stir up the people. See, I had the same mentality. We need a praise and worship team to stir up the people. And he rebuked me. He came right back and said, praise and worship isn't to stir the people, but is the result of a stirred people. It's the result of a stirred people. It's not to stir the people. People should be stirred by knowing their God because of their faith in God. And then worship should follow. Praise should follow. So I said, I got it. I see it. And this scripture came to me. I don't want to, I'm tired. And he said, will you do it my way? Because I don't like a lot of what I'm hearing and what people are calling praise and worship. Will you do it my way? And we did for years. No music. We'd play a CD or something before service. You know, but if the people didn't have faith in God, they didn't want to praise and worship him, we didn't have any praise and worship. Now we think we have praise and worship because we have music. That doesn't mean we had praise and worship. So we could cover a lot of stuff now, lot of stuff can get covered through musical instruments and other different things. But everything's naked before the eyes of him to whom we're supposed to be worshiping. He's the one this whole thing's for. And he's going to say, would you just come and just worship from your heart and just praise me from your heart? Do you need to have musical instruments? No, we don't need to have musical instruments. And yet many have. People have said, I can't go to that church. They don't have any praise and worship. They don't have any. What do you have? Do you have any praise and worship? They don't have. And in other words, they don't have praise and worship. They don't have it. It's not, this is praise and worship. They don't have it. It's these musical instruments up here. They don't have it. See, it's a twisted mindset. And I've watched people leave in droves. I've watched people come and they've judged the musicians when we started having musicians. We were just getting going. And there were people judging. This guy comes in, he's a musician, he's led praise and worship. He comes in this church and he's looking, he goes, they don't look happy up there. I don't think they really know what they're doing. I need to go to another church. These are twisted-minded people, and I understand it's the society we live in. But it's a twisted-minded, unrenewed mind. It's not real, genuine worship that a lot of people think they're giving to God. They're performing, but they're not worshiping him. So this music, like we see in the Word of God, is to just accompany our overflowing hearts of surrender and self-sacrifice and reckless abandonment to God. It is disgusting, according to the Scriptures, when people stand there and have absolutely no praise and worship in them, and I'm talking about Christians, that think they're pleasing God. And they just sit there and they judge. They just judge everything. Musicians, they're judging the sound. They're listening. They're uncomfortable. They're thinking about their flesh. Their flesh should be fried on the floor baking. But instead, it's very much alive. It's very much intact. And nothing is broken, trust me. As they sit there and judge and listen and endure. That's not praise and worship. And you will not see the greater glory of God in a person like that's life. People like that will not see the greater glory of God. I want to see the greater manifestations of God in my life. I want to see the greater manifestations of the Word of God in my life. So I know what that means. Not my will, but your will be done. A life of surrender. A life of sacrifice. Reckless abandonment. Laying yourself down before him. And giving him the fruit of your lips. It's a part of it. I live a sacrifice. I live a surrendered life. I can't hear it. Don't hear it very much. Fruit of lips need to accompany that. So you have to have them both. Sacrifice, fruit of lips. See what I'm saying? See, if you just have sacrifice and no fruit of the lips, no expression, no bowing down, no falling down, no expression, you just have sacrifice, you have burnt toast. You have something that is burning up. It's just burned up. It's burned up. But if you just have the fruit of the lips, through lips, and there's no sacrifice, then you have something that's just puffed up. Now you got something that's puffed up. So you got puffed up over here, and you got burned up over here. Neither one's good. Nobody wants a burnt anything. It doesn't taste good. If your offering is burnt, nobody wants it. God don't want to eat your. God smells and goes, that is burnt. They're trying to give me burnt toast. They're trying to feed me something burnt. They got. Burn. And then over here you got this, you know, it's like way too much perfume. It's like, you know, it would have been a nice scent if you like didn't use half the bottle. It's so sweet, it's putrid. Now we see an incredible example of this, and I'd love to get to it. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 6. Notice this in verse. Now, you know the story here. This is when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord back to Israel, all right? So they're bringing it into the city of David. It's headed towards the city of David. David's excited about it. The Ark represents the presence of God. It represents the glory of God. It's the glory of God. So they're bringing the glory of God into the camp. You can imagine how excited everybody is. And then we see in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 4, it says, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Now notice this, they're bringing in the glory of God, the manifested presence of God. And how are they bringing it in? Well, they're wheeling it in on this cart, and they got people around it to protect it. Uzzah is one of them. And what's going before? What's going before the ark? And what's going on all around it? It says they were playing music. Verse 5. David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of stringed instruments, on tambourines. Ching, 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 ching. Right? Tambourine's a real jingly sound. Right? That's a jingly sound. On sistrums, that's another jingling sound. It's kind of like a tambourine. Ching, 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 ching. It's a jingling sound. On cymbals, ching, ching, right? Ching, right? Okay. So it's really these high-pitched jingling sounds. Not even a trumpet. Doesn't even mention a trumpet. Nothing deep. Nothing with substance. Everything's jingling. Everybody's happy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And then it says, God struck Uzzah for his error. My margin says for that word error, it says irreverence. His irreverence. There was no reverence here. There was nothing going on that cost them anything. It was just an exciting party. And we had music. Because we know how important music is. You can't go to too many places without having music. You got to keep things exciting, hyped up, you know. You got to have the music. So they got all this jingling and music going. You know, I'm reminded when it mentions cymbals, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it says that if you do all these great things, but you have not love, you're like a clanging cymbal. Interesting. In other words, there's no substance. There's no love. It's just all this religious service. And he says, it's like a clanging cymbal. And these are all clanging instruments other than the harp, which is, you know, again, ding, doom, 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 ding, 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 ding. It's all high-pitched stuff. Nothing deep. That's the point. A man died because of irreverence. There was no respect for this level of glory that was coming in. I don't want to die. I don't want people to drop dead. And we want the glory. Oh, God, give us the glory. Send your fire, Jesus. Send your fire, Jesus. You'd be dead if he sent his fire. Most people. Because of their irreverence towards the fire. Because of their lifestyle. Because of the attitude of their heart. So David, you know him. He's a man of God. He seeks God about this. And he gets answers. And he finds out what he did wrong. He realized where, he wasn't just Uzzah, he realized where he, they, Israel had missed it. And notice what happens here. Verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. Now understand, the ark was in the man's house for 3 months. And he got so blessed, everybody can see it. 3 months. 3 months with this level of glory, the man is totally blessed out of his. Everything's blessed. David's like, I got to have that ark. I got to have that ark. So David went, as Obed-Edom did it right. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Nothing like that was mentioned the first time around. There was no 6 paces. Everybody's right touching the thing. Ooh, it feels so good. The glory. They loved how the glory felt. They're touching the thing. And they're all singing and dancing, and they're having themselves a rock concert in the name of praise and worship. Now, it's a totally different story. He's glad. He's not miserable. He's not like, oh, yeah, oh, God's a mean God. We watch it when we walk holy. No. The holy life is a very happy life. Amen. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice because he has made me glad. And his presence, when it's reverence, brings great blessing. Great blessing, great joy. Right? So this isn't like this miserable experience. Second time around, we're all going to be miserable. No. First thing it says, gladness. And then it says, oxen and sheep and all these other things. Fatted sheep, like the fatted calf. I mean, they're bringing expensive stuff here. They're not bringing cheap sacrifices. They're bringing sacrifices that cost them something, and there's blood flowing. It's a sign of a surrendered life to God. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Where did the jingles go? Jingle bells, jingle bells. No, that left. It's gone. Now it's trumpets. Bum, ba, bum. I mean, there's power here. There's substance. These people have gone deeper. Now we're not just singing. We're shouting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. And we're so excited about him. We're not worried about our reputation. We're not worried about what people think about us because our lives we have given as a sacrifice to it. I mean, it's just like the blood of these animals being poured out. Bless God. We're surrendered. We're sacrificing our life. We're not worried about our reputation. We're not in the pride mode anymore. Now, here's King David. No fear of his reputation. No worries about what people think about him. And here he's out there. It's before the Lord. Hallelujah. He is whirling. He is dancing. He is full of gladness. He's excited. This is worship. This is praise to God. A sweet smelling aroma that's fully pleasing to him. They've come and they've given their lives to him. And it's symbolized in the sacrifices, and they've gone deeper. It's from their heart, and their shouts are accompanied by trumpets blaring. Amen. Man, we need to shift out of the culture of our world around the society that we live in, which is an entertainment society. People are addicted to entertainment. And it's the culture of this society. And so Christians get saved, and that's what we just do in church. But God's looking for a place that he can rest his glory, where he could come in greater manifestation. And it's in a place where there's hearts surrendered to him, contrite and broken before him, totally given over to him, consecrated to him. Can you say amen? Amen. Has he found anyone like that in this place tonight? How many people are going to lift their voice and praise? Give him the sacrifice of praise. Glory be to God. A surrendered life. along with the fruit of your lips, loud and high, singing out and shouting, praising God. Sure, we're going to sing. Sure, we're going to praise. Sure, we're going to play the instruments and smash the cymbals. But bless God, we're going to be surrendered and live a life of sacrifice before our God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet and give him praise and worship like he's worthy. Like he's worthy.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.